This is almost like my Wednesday night crowd, or no, my Sunday night crowd. My Sunday night crowd always likes to sit all on this side over here, and I'm like having to look this way the entire time, and I have to put some ghosts over here, some puppets, so I can at least think there's someone over here. But I hope you've had fun so far. As I said to some people earlier, this is the first time, I believe, ever, or first time in a while, that Dover First Baptist Church has done a youth rally. And I don't want this to be the last. So we're making this the first annual, which means, Lord willing, next year, around this time, before school starts, we plan to do a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one, and however many we can get. And the idea is to try to just get a bunch of teens and kids from all over the state, and even in Connecticut, and because we're 5 minutes away from Connecticut over here anyway, try to get as many churches we can get together, just so you can realize that you're not the only people. There are other people around who go through the same things that you go through on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. I hope a lot of these are familiar. I know the last one should be very familiar, but this one might take you back to younger kid land. It's the chorus of Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Praise Ye the Lord. How many of you are familiar with that one? Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna break it up. We're gonna have, let's see, the first, how many of you got? Let's do the first one, two, three, four rows. You all are gonna be the Hallelujahs, and then rows five to the back, you're gonna be the Praise Ye the Lords. So you're gonna kind of go back and forth, and that's kind of the idea behind it. You'll have to stand up. Just hold on. Let's see if I can remember. Familiar chorus, but we're going to pray first, give the service to the Lord, and then continue further. Father, we're thankful for the day you've given to us. We're thankful for the teens and the children who are here this night, and the adults who are here with them. And we just pray this evening that this service would be for you. That's the first of our kind here, and the folks here get to be a part of that. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and our guide, and help us just to hear what you want us to hear this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So the next one is Jesus Loves the Little Children. There are two verses we're going to sing with this one. So if you know it, sing it out loud. If you don't, it's a relatively tune mentally and kind of close. Let's sing this one out. Just a couple of announcements here. We don't need that on the ground. All right, just a couple of announcements. And there are these. Number one, I'm glad you're here tonight. I know you could be anywhere else, but I'm glad you're here. And I'm hoping that you're enjoying yourself. And hopefully something you've we've done so far has been enjoyable, whether it be the quiz, the Jeopardy style game, whether it be eating food, whether it be doing this or going home. We're going to find something that you're going to like to do before tonight's out. All right. We do normally have our AWASA program, which is a kids program every Friday night at 6:30 here, but instead of doing that, we're doing this, which is a more upscale version of it this evening. Other than that, I mean, if there's a church you attend, attend it. We have services here Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 o'clock at night, and then we also have a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Before we sing our last song and our speaker comes up, we have tickets, and so we're gonna give away a couple of prizes here tonight. So the first prize we're gonna give out is going to be this tabletop cornhole. So it's two boards, eight bean bags, tabletop, so there's no way you can lose it. Actually, there probably is many ways you can lose it. So we're gonna go ahead, we're gonna open up our thing here, stir it around, and let's see what we have. So if you have ticket number 405, that's all of you so far. Zero, that's some of you. 5, 5. 055. That is you. All right. Here we go. Gender-based because of what is in them. So this one here is for the girls. So if I call a boy's ticket number here, a gentleman's ticket number, I'm gonna have to pull it back in for the girl. But if I actually call the boy first, I actually have a guy one here too, and this is a fishing pole with a tackle box and everything like that. But I think if I'm correct on this, if you're living, obviously we live in New York, for if all of us or most of us, you have to have a permit at some point. So if you win this, figure it out. I don't know. I'm still new to all this. You know what actually surprised me? This is an interesting fact. For those of you who don't know, I'm not from here. You can easily tell that by my speaking. I'm from South Florida, so if you're familiar with Miami, I was an hour north of Miami. So South Beach, I knew what it was, and I knew to avoid it. And so we relocated up here at the beginning of the year, right behind that second snowstorm, drove right through all that. And then we were here for that blizzard that happened in February and that -7 degree overnight. I remember walking out, I'm like, this too shall pass. It will be done soon, but it was pretty cold walking out that Sunday morning. So we have two of them, one for a guy, one for a girl. And so we're going to be pulling out two winners here. So here we go. If you have ticket number 405052, who is that? Oh, Mia, you get a fishing kit. Here you go. For you. You get to keep that. I have your other ones. All right, now I got to try to find a guy winner here. And there are a few of you, so let's see, there's at least two or three of you, four of you, so you have a better shot. There are more girls here than guys tonight. So, guys, you have a better shot at this. Here we go. That ticket number is going to be 405047. Okay. Well, don't worry, you still have a chance to win the last prize, I promise you. You're going right back in here for the last prize that's gonna come. All right, let's try this one. 405053. three. Is that a gentleman or no? All right, you know what? I might just, whichever one I pull next, I might just make that one it. All right, here we go. One more time. Oh, I just pulled that ticket. Let's try this one. 405-056. You know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and give it to you. And I will have something for you. Final prize tonight is going to be a brand. Oh, there's a piano there. It's been sitting there for a long time. All right. I know. Oh, actually, I have something for you. I just looked in here and I found something for you. So I'm going to give you your prize right now. Before I do the last one here, I just announced 056, right? Yes, I did. Okay. So for you, all right, last prize of the evening. And that's for this brand new Bible right here. And that is going to go to this ticket number right here. 405-055. Who's that? All right. Did I give you? I did. I think I accidentally put yours back in there. I apologize. You think I'd have my marble straight by now here. And I think I've called that one already. 053, I believe I've called that one already. Oh, that's you. Well, you know what? This is yours now. Here you go. Here you go. And you know what? I'm gonna give out. Well, you know, this here's this last one here. So since it's here, it has no use for me here. I'm gonna give out this last. Oh, I got two left. Huh. Okay, so I guess two more people. All right. 405-048. All right, this is for you. This is for you. All right. As you, and then this last one here is gonna be for this one right here, 405-054. All right, this is for you. Let's sing our final song. Then after that, we're going to get to the main stuff here. So, we're going to sing a very familiar song, probably to a lot of us here, but it's going to be Jesus Loves Me. You can remain seated, but we're going to go ahead and sing the first verse in order of Jesus Loves Me. excuse for Ali. He's been with us all week long for our revival services, but tonight we decided to do a youth rally instead of a final service. Well, we're still doing a service. It's just now it's more geared toward teenagers and children. And so that's our thrust for tonight. Our speaker comes to us born in South Jersey and lives currently in Pensacola. He's been out in evangelism longer than all of you kids have been alive. 32 years. He's traveled all over this country, all over 50 or 60 different other countries throughout the world. And surprisingly enough, you'll see how tall he is if you haven't already. And his daughters, his youngest one is 5'11" and still growing. So Rich Tozer is our evangelist, and he's going to come. He's going to share with you the Word of God this evening. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, there are in front of you on your lap. You have some in the front on the pew. And there's also going to be up here on the screen also. Brother Rich?
Thank you, Pastor. I'd heard that story when I was at West Point. My friend Steve Snavely was the pastor of Grace Baptist just down the road. They probably have 20 or 30 cadets that'll come there on a Sunday. And they took us and showed us where that their home was, Anna's home. And she, I believe she's buried there at West Point. Yeah, that's what I heard. Huh. Amazing. Yeah. So you think tough military guys, a song like Jesus Loves Me, it resonates because we all need the Lord. Well, I don't know if you know, you kids won the contest earlier, the Jeopardy. The adults got the first question. That's the only 50 points the adults got the whole time. So you won 700-50. So good job for that. Nice job. Nobody ever gave you the results, but yeah, you did a good job on that. I'm going to go to two places in the Bible tonight, and you may want to find them and put a marker in them. One is in the book of Numbers. That's the fourth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So if you can look four books in and mark chapter 21. And then I'm going to the book of John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I'll be in John chapter 3. If you want to mark those places in your Bible, we're going to get to them. And you got a new Bible to look them up in. Isn't that awesome? Didn't know you'd get. I was praying, Lord, let the Bible go to the person that I'll get that tonight. All right, any of you guys have your driver's license yet? How many? Anybody doing a permit yet? Okay, yeah, adults. Yeah, hopefully, you have your license. My daughter is 15, and we live in Florida, and she's been doing her driver's permit right now, and they have to have 50 hours, so I think we're up to 40, just driving back and forth to church every time and some other places. So. And my daughter is not bashful in driving. Her name is Lene. Lene's the one that's 5'11". Believe it or not, she's my shortest daughter, 5'11". The next oldest daughter above Lene is 26 years old. Her name's Heather. She's 6'2.5". And then my oldest daughter, Brianna, is 6 feet tall. So, and she's married, and she's 30. So I have all daughters. They're all tall. My wife's only 5'9". She's the short one in the family. I'm 6'6". I've never been the tallest in my family. My dad was 6'7". I've got nephews that are 6'9", 6'8". So in our family, I'm the average height for guys. So I'm just, you know, median height. And then my daughter, who's 6 feet, she's the average height for women. So I'm driving around with Lene, often my daughter now, and, you know, we're practicing driving. And I've tried to prepare for everything. But, you know, once in a while, something unexpected happens. And maybe you've been sitting at a stoplight or a stop sign, and all of a sudden, you know, you're just sitting there thinking, and woo, 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 big noise comes up behind you, and all of a sudden, flash of lights, and this is on the back door of what just passed you. So what was it that just went past you? What were you going to say? Ambulance. She said it too. Yeah, an ambulance. Have you ever looked at the symbol that is on the back of the ambulance door? Or maybe you've gone to a doctor's office. What is it that's right there in the middle of that symbol? A snake. How many of you like snakes? Anybody like snakes? Okay. I never have been a fan of snakes. Most people are like, ew, snakes. I mean, they're kind of creepy. Why in the world is that snake wrapped around a pole? Now, my sister is a nurse, and she got her nursing degree. And when she was in college, they say, well, it's the caduceus. And they'll say it goes back to Greek mythology. But actually goes back before Greek mythology. It's in the Bible. And I want to show you why there's a serpent wrapped around the pole. It's in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. I want to read that with you. And I've entitled the message tonight, Look and Live. You'll see why. This is important history in the Bible and a miracle that God did. And how in the world does that pertain to you and me? All right, Numbers chapter 21, look at verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Or by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. Okay, think about this. If you have a compass in school and you put your point down and then you turn the compass, what shape will you end up with on your paper? You ever use a compass in school? Point, pencil, turn it. What shape do you end up with? Circle, yeah. Okay, so the compass is to go around, like, in circle. They're going to compass the land of Edom. I'm sorry, lost my place there. Compass the land of Edom, yep. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. The word loathe means we don't like it, we hate it. Talking about the manna that they'd been eating. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, We've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Okay, now I've got a few fake snakes. I want to emphasize that, okay? A few fake snakes in my bag up here. And I want you to imagine, you're the people of Israel, and you've been complaining against God, and all of a sudden, these snakes just start showing up everywhere. And I mean, they at the time, they're traveling through the wilderness, so they have tents. And you imagine they pull back the flap of a tent and there's a snake that pops out. They go to their, whatever their storage bin is that they've got, and there are snakes in the storage bin. They walk out, go find their spot out in the desert that they're going to use the bathroom, and there are snakes there. I mean, everywhere they go. They go to draw water, there are snakes there. There are snakes everywhere, and they're not just snakes. They're biting the people, and they're venomous. And as soon as they bite the people die. I don't know why I would have this recurring dream every once in a while that I woke up and I was in this pit with snakes all over the place. I mean, it's kind of a creepy dream. I don't know why I was having it. But these people really had that experience. Snakes everywhere. They're biting the people. They're dying. And imagine if you had snakes everywhere and they're biting you and there's no remedy. They don't have a serum for it. They don't have medication for it. It's not like, well, you can cut yourself and suck out the venom and spit it out and you're going to live. If you got bitten by these snakes, you're going to die. So the people realize this is because we have rebelled against God. We've been complaining against God. We spoke out against Moses, who God sent to lead us. And so we've griped and complained, and now we're wrong. God, please forgive us. And so God says, all right, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a serpent out of brass and put it on a pole. Now, that may sound like the craziest thing. He takes this particular serpent, fashions him out of metal, brass, and wraps him around a pole. And then God said this, you take that serpent and you put it where anybody that looks on that serpent is going to live. Now, imagine this. If you're concerned about all the people dying, where would you think about putting a symbol like this? Let's say, the Bible didn't tell us exactly where Moses put it, but you think he would put it down in some corner, down in the hollow where nobody could see it? If you're a man like Moses, you're instructed, hey, the one way the people are going to live, I want them to see the serpent. What would you do with this? Where would you think you might put it? You're out in the desert. Well, I would find the most prominent place. Now, you're in an area where you've got hills and valleys here. So if you were in a town and you wanted something to be up where everybody could see it, what would be a likely spot? Probably top of a hill somewhere, right? So imagine this. Moses goes out, he puts the serpent up, and now he says, now whoever looks at the serpent will live. Okay, now, How did they get the message out to people? Now, back then, they didn't have cell phones, okay? So sometimes my phone will go off at some inopportune time, and there's an amber alert, or there's a silver alert, you know, or sometimes it's a hurricane alert. I live in Florida, and you pay attention to those things. They didn't have cell phones back then. They didn't have telephones. They didn't even have telegraph. How did people find out about things? Somebody had to tell them. So imagine this. Imagine Moses tells Joshua, hey, listen, you've got to go tell all the people that God told me to make this serpent out of brass, and they've got to look at the serpent and live. Now, first of all, you can imagine, the people are thinking, look at a serpent. It's the serpents that have been killing us. Why do we want to look at a serpent? That's creepy, and that's what's killing us. We don't even want to think about that. Listen, the serpent was a picture of what was costing their life. They had to see it. They had to face it, and they had to realize that only God could deal with it. And so God sends messengers around. And so how did they do it? I would imagine they ran to different tents, and they go in and they're telling people, let's say you guys are the first family they go to, and listen, we know you're dying of snake bites, but God told Moses to make a serpent out of brass. Listen, all you got to do is go right out here. The serpent is put up on the hill there. You just look at it, and you'll live. So imagine they're all dying, and they say, okay, we're going to believe God. We got to go. We got to go see it. And even though they're dying, even though they're sick, they come out of their tent, and they go, and the minute they lay eyes on it, they're instantly healed. Well, let's say the messenger is going from tent to tent. Let's say he finds another tent, and these people don't want to hear it. Okay, Glenn, you can be the hard-hearted guy for a minute, okay? We're just pretending. So he goes into this tent, and let's say that Brother Glenn and Pastor Maxwell, let's say they're a family, and I come to them and say, hey, guys, listen, Moses told us to make a serpent out of brass. It's out here. If you go, you'll live. And let's say these two guys say, serpents? That's what's been killing us. We don't want to hear anything more about snakes. Get out of here. Can you imagine what would the messenger say? Now, guys, listen, you're going to die. You don't have to die. All you got to do is just go, look, God's done everything. Shut up about the snakes. We don't want to hear it about the snakes. Get out of here. Okay, you guys tell me, what's going to happen to the family that didn't believe the message from God? They're going to die. Let me ask you this. Is it going to be God's fault that they died? No. Why were the snakes biting them? Because they sinned against God. Who made a way for them to be delivered from the snake bites? God. Did God say, okay, go out there and stand on your head for 2 hours, and if you can survive standing on your head? No. It wasn't hard. God said, just believe me and you'll live. Look and live. That was the remedy. Now, I want you to go to the New Testament book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. And I want you to see verses 14 to 18. John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Now, some of you have a red letter edition of the Bible. If you have a red letter Bible, who is it that's speaking when you see red letters in a red letter edition? Anybody know? That's when Jesus is speaking. Now, don't worry if your Bible doesn't have red letters. Red letters are just to help understand when Jesus was talking. But John chapter 3, this is Jesus speaking. And look at verse number 16. This is the most familiar verse in all the Bible. That'd be an interesting trivia question. What is the most well-known verse in all the Bible? In fact, it's been translated into more languages than any other message in the world. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Interesting. I want to go back to verse 14. Back up for a minute. I started in 16, but go to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now notice the word Son of Man, the S is capitalized. Does anybody know who Son of Man refers to in the Bible? To Jesus. Yeah, Son of Man refers to Jesus. Notice, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I want you to think back to Moses with these serpents that are everywhere. And what do we learn from the poisonous serpents? Well, the poisonous serpents were the result of man's sin against God. Why is there such a thing as death in the world? Well, the Bible tells us, you probably heard the verse, the wages of sin is what? Death. Yeah, that's Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Why do there have to be funerals in this world? God didn't ever want there to have to be funerals. God didn't want people to die. How many of you have ever gone through the death of somebody that you loved? Yeah, all of us have or will. Many of you know grandparents that have died. Some of you may be a family member. Some of you may be a friend. I'm curious, how many of you have known somebody who died that wasn't even 30 years old? Anybody know somebody not even 30 that died? Yeah. We're not guaranteed to live a long life. Did you know that God never intended for man to die? God didn't want man to die. When he made the first people, Adam and Eve, he said, you can freely eat all the trees that I put in the Garden of Eden. All of the trees are there. There's just one not to eat of. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't need to know about evil. There was no evil in their world. But Adam and Eve were duped by a serpent. Now, it wasn't a slithering snake at that time. It was a creature that they were not surprised it was talking. That's amazing. He was cursed later and slithered on his belly, but we don't know what the serpent looked like at that time. But Satan had entered into the serpent, and he enticed Adam and Eve to disobey God. This is where the first sin came in the world. And God had told them, listen, the day you sin, thou shalt surely die. God didn't want them to have to die. He warned them, I'm telling you to protect you. The problem is, the Bible tells us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I remember when my dad used this passage of Scripture, John chapter 3, to lead me to the Lord. And a few of you adults were here this week, you would have heard me tell this story. But I grew up in southern New Jersey, and we had a creek down the end of our property, crick, as they called it. And the creek we grew up by was probably about a foot and a half deep. And one year we got rain for multiple days. And so my dad was a general contractor. He built houses, and he loved to do adventures. So my dad one day, looking at the creek, and it's now 5 or 6 feet deep, and there are waves in the creek, it's white water. And my dad said, hey, Rich, let's get the rowboat, and we'll go up to your uncle's house, and we'll ride the rowboat back to our house. Well, that's about 3 miles. I wasn't real sure about this. And my dad said, you want to go? I said, oh, I don't know, Dad. He said, if you don't go, I'll take your sisters. Well, they were only 5 and 7, so I didn't want to get shown up by my sisters. Dad said, all right, let's get the rowboat. So we take it in the pickup truck, and we go up to my uncle's house, 3 miles away. And my dad said, you sit in the front, and I'm going to use the oars, and I'll steer. Now, my dad was 6'7". That's taller than I am. And my dad weighed 260 pounds. That's more than I weigh. And when I'm 9 years old, I don't weigh anything like that. So my dad said, you sit in the front. And when he sat in the back of the rowboat, I'm way up front, not looking down on my dad. He's like, are you ready? Uh-huh. I wasn't ready. He said, hold on. So we push off, and he's using the oars to steer, and we come around the first bend, and there's this giant tree that has fallen across the width of the creek. And it's blocking the whole creek. And I remember looking over my shoulder and say, Dad! And we didn't even have life jackets on. I don't know what the man was thinking. So he thought it was just going to be a fun 3-mile trip back to our house. All of a sudden, we smash into the tree. Well, the water, the force of the water is just pushing, and it has nowhere to go, so it comes over the back of the boat. Well, now my dad's going lower and lower, which means I'm going higher and higher, and I get flipped up in the air, splash in the water, and now I get swept up against the tree. And I am holding my breath underwater. How many of you have ever tried to hold your breath underwater? Can you do it? Anybody do a minute underwater? Minute seems like, it'd be nothing. It's hard to hold your breath underwater. I used to have a pool, and we practiced holding our breath underwater. So I was underwater for at least a minute, and I thought, I'm going to die. I want to tell you something. When you're facing death and you're not ready to die, that's a scary thing. In fact, by the way, today I'm ready to die. I don't want to die, but I'm ready to die. It's still a scary thing to face death, particularly when you don't know where you're going. So here I am underwater holding my breath, and all of a sudden As I'm holding my breath, I somehow get free. It was just the kindness of God. I get free. I come up to the surface, and my dad grabs me. He's like, "Are you okay?" "Dad, I'm scared." I start to cry. My dad said, "You're scared. He's going to face my mother, who's wondering, where's my son?" The rowboat's gone. My dad's brand new glasses fell off his face. They're gone. He thought his son was gone. And I tell you that story because about 6 months later, we went to a Bible preaching church for the first time in my life. We went to church every Sunday, but our church didn't preach the Bible. We kind of had the idea, hopefully you do enough good works that maybe if your good works are better than your bad works, hopefully you'll get to heaven. We didn't go to a church to preach the Bible, but my dad's boss had led him to the Lord. My dad had gotten saved. And he thought, why doesn't my church tell us this? So we went and visited a church called Open Bible Baptist Church. And they had about 1,000 people on a Sunday morning. The pastor said, "Open your Bible." And you know, when all those people are turning pages, that makes quite a noise. And so my sisters heard the pages turning. They said, "Psst, Mom, Dad, is it raining? What's that noise?" They never heard the Bible being opened before. My dad realized these kids don't know the Lord. And long after church was over, that was the first time I ever heard the Bible preached, my dad came into my room. He had a Bible in his hand, the Bible that he got in the Methodist church that he'd grown up in. And he had that Bible since the 1950s. And I don't know that he'd ever taught me out of it until that day. What he was about to share with me was going to be the most important thing I ever heard in my life. He came in my room. He said, "Rich, I want to talk to you about something. You ever thought about what's going to happen to you when you die, Richie?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, remember last year in the rowboat?" He said, "I thought about that today, Rich. What would have happened if you drowned in the creek?" "I don't know." You know, you're young. I mean, probably like me, I had never really thought about dying until I almost died. I'm curious, how many of you look back and think, I think I almost died. Anybody ever have one? And I'm not talking about riding with your mom, okay? How many of you ever had an experience where you thought you almost died? Yeah, okay. And it made me think. My dad said, "Rich, have you ever done anything wrong?" "Well, yeah, Dad." "You know what sin is, son?" "Yeah, Dad." He said, "Can you tell me some things you've done that are wrong?" "Well, I've lied. I've said bad words. I even used God's name like a curse word. I had fights with my sisters. I even hit them sometimes. I disobeyed my parents. You know, I'm 10, and I know I've done bad stuff. But I never thought about it as being a sin against God before." My dad opened up his Bible to this passage, John chapter 3, and I read starting in verse 14 with you. I want you to back up to verse 1 for a minute. This is the passage that my dad shared with me that day. John 3, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." My dad said the Pharisees were the most religious people of that day. They tried to live by the very letter of the law. They tried to keep all the commandments. And then he says this, the same, verse 2, this is John 3, verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi," that's the word for teacher, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, You must be born again." My dad said to me, "Rich, this is a very religious man. He comes and he's not even attacking Jesus. He said, You've got to be from God. These miracles you do, prove it." And Jesus doesn't even talk polite conversation with him. He says to him, "Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you won't even see the kingdom of heaven." My dad said, "Richie, if we could get to heaven being good, Nicodemus should have been going to heaven. Because of all people, he was trying to be as good as he can." Richie, the Bible tells us that your sins, your iniquities, that's the Bible term, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now listen, gang, this is a pretty simple question. This would have been a good Jeopardy question tonight. If I said to you, "Where does God live?" Where would you say God lives? Anybody know? Yeah, God lives in heaven. So my dad said, Rich, if your sin separates you from God, then that means where would you not go after you die? Yeah, I said, heaven. He said, so if you die separated from God, after you die, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So after you die, you're going to meet God and you're going to be somewhere forever. So if you die separated from God, where would you go? I didn't even want to say it. I heard people use it like a curse word. I pointed downward and my dad said, Rich, there really is a place called hell. I said, Dad, I don't want to go there. He said, well, I don't want you to go there. That's why we're having this talk. He said, thankfully, God doesn't want you to go there. Despite all you've done, God still loves you. In fact, notice this. Jesus said, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. What does he mean, born of the Spirit? The first time you're born is physical. The second birth is spiritual. My dad said, Rich, you were born October 9th, 1966. Okay, that's my birthday. My birthday's coming up pretty soon here. He said, you were born in October, but you got to be born again if you're going to go to heaven. What does that mean, Dad? And that's when we went to verse 16. This is the first time I'd ever seen this verse in my life. We just read it, but I want you to imagine this. Imagine you've never heard this verse in your life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm curious, by the way, have any of you not heard that verse until tonight? Would anybody here hearing that for the first time? Okay. Some of you be like me. I had never heard that before. My dad said, I want you to notice this. God so loved the world. That word so, it's a point of emphasis. It's an adverb to describe how he loved. It wasn't like, well, God loved us. God so loved us. He loved us so much that he did something. He gave. What did he give? He didn't just give a door prize like we got tonight. He didn't just give money. He gave his only begotten Son. I'm the only son of my dad. He's got two daughters, my sisters, but I'm the only son. My dad said, Rich, I can't imagine if you died in the creek, and I wouldn't have given you willingly. You'd have died by accident. He said, God sent his son into the world to die on purpose. He said, what did God do to save you from your sins, Rich? You know, I knew all these facts, but I'd never connected it before. Any of you, when you were a kid, do you ever play connect the dots when you were a kid? Anybody ever draw connect the dot? Okay, you know how you start, you're like 11, 12, you don't know what the picture is. But you get around to like 45, 46, and all of a sudden you know where the picture is finishing up, right? It's like I was playing connect the dots. All of a sudden, my dad said to me, what did God do so he could save you from your sin? I knew it. I said, oh, Jesus died on the cross. Dad said, who was Jesus? God. God the Son. He said, how did he die? Oh, they put nails through his hands and his feet, and they put a crown of thorns in his head. He suffered. He said, did Jesus do anything wrong? No, I knew he hadn't done anything wrong. So why did Jesus die? Christ died for our sins. That's what the Bible says. My dad said, after he died, what happened? I said, well, they put him in a grave, in a tomb. They rolled the stone in front of the door. And my dad said, what happened then? I said, he came back to life. Dad said, when did that happen? 3 days later. Did you know that? Jesus not only died, he rose again. My dad said, do you know why he did that, Rich? The Bible tells us this, I declare to you the gospel. What's gospel? The good news. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, the Bible, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That's what Jesus did so I could be saved, so you could be saved. And my dad said to me, Rich, would you like to be saved? I said, yes, Dad. Now, before I tell you how I received the Lord that night, let me go back to this picture. We have here the poisonous serpents. The poisonous serpents were sent out because the people disobeyed God. The wages of sin is death, and they were dying. But then we have the perfect substitute. God said, I want you to make a serpent out of metal, make it out of brass, and put it on a pole. And then we have the people's salvation. How did the people get saved? Were they told, go out there and stand on one leg for 4 days, and if you can make it for 4 days, I'll save you? No. What was the people's salvation? He just said, look and what? Look and live. There's a hymn called Look and Live. It says, I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I give. 'Tis recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His word. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. In John 3:14, the Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, look at this picture here. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How was Jesus lifted up? On what? On a cross. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dad said to me that night, Rich, would you like to look to Jesus to be your Savior? Yes, Dad. What do I do? He said, the Bible is very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, nobody calls on the Lord if they don't realize they're a guilty sinner. The Bible used the term repent. What does that mean? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent means you better change your mind. You're not a good person. You're a guilty sinner. You better see sin is bad. Sin separates you from God. You say, yeah, I really feel bad about it, but what can I do about it? You can't do anything about it. Only God can do something about it. You got to repent, and you rely on Jesus to be your Savior. So my dad said, would you like to be saved? I said, yes, Dad. He said, come here, let's kneel by your bed. And we got down by my bed in my little room. Uh-oh, I kicked the bucket, but I'm still alive, thankfully. All right, I'll get the plant in a minute. Sorry about that. We got down by my bed, and my dad said, you pray first, and then I'll pray. Now listen, I wasn't at church. I wasn't at a youth rally. I was at home in my little bedroom in New Jersey. But here's what happened. As I bowed my head that day, I said, dear Lord, I know I'm a bad sinner. I've lied. I've said bad words. I've even used your name like a bad word. I'm so sorry. I've gotten fights with my sisters. I've disobeyed my parents. I know I'm a sinner. God, I'm sorry. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross, like you say. I believe He came back to life. I believe You're alive, Jesus. So God, I'm asking, will You please save me because of what Jesus did for me? Amen. That's how I got saved. Right there at that moment. 10-year-old boy, I came to know the Lord as my Savior. Changed everything about my life. If you were to ask me, so, will you go to heaven when you die? Absolutely. Do I deserve to go to heaven? No. But Jesus paid it all. The little song we sang tonight, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you'll call on Him, He'll save you. He'll give you a whole new life. By the way, I want to go back to one more thought. When Moses was told, hey, listen, the serpents are killing the people, and there's one remedy, and you make the serpent, and you put it on a pole, and I mentioned they didn't have telephones, they didn't have email. So even though the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, we kind of infer, we can figure it out. Somehow the message had to get out. Well, it's kind of a no-brainer. How does a message get out among anybody? Somebody has to do what? Somebody's got to tell them. The Bible says this, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Some of you know the Lord as Savior. I want you to think about this. You've got family and friends. They don't know Jesus Christ. You say, well, I wish somebody would tell them. How about you? Our job is to go and tell. To tell other people about Jesus Christ. When was the last time you told somebody about the Lord? What would have happened if Moses put that serpent up on the pole But nobody told anybody else about it. They all would have died. There was one way to be spared from the snake bites. Look and live. There's one way for people to be saved. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's anybody, should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder, do you know Jesus Christ? I hope you never come close to drowning in the creek like I did. But there's something I know about you. You will die one day. I hope it's not soon. But the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. You know, in just a couple weeks, we're going to think back to an event that happened 25 years ago before most of you were born. But those of us who were there remember the attacks on our country on 9/11. The World Trade Towers both pierced by planes, and then the buildings collapsed. The Pentagon, plane that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Those people never expected that that would be their last day on earth. But almost 3,000 people died that day. Ooh, it was a mass event. I wonder, are you ready to meet God? I want to ask you to do this with me. Let's just bow our heads for a minute. I want to pray as we wrap up our time together. You listen really well. Good job.